Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This is reading of the God's Word. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our God and our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you cause us to see the glorious sight of heaven through your word. Oh Father, let us realize that is where we have come as we worship you. Let us see our heavenly reality through your word. But more importantly, let us see you, our God. Let us see Jesus Christ. And let us worship you, adore you, enjoy you now and forever. Bless your people, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue our study of this chapter. We have seen the big picture last Lord's Day. Let us see this chapter in more detail today. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 14 says, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." Yes, there's no lasting rest in this world for you and for me. No lasting city here on earth. But we are seeking the city that is to come. As we have seen last Lord's Day, the way to overcome the world is to hope in heaven. We must see the reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We must see through the Word who we are in Jesus Christ. What kind of people are we in Jesus Christ? We must always witness that reality of heaven as we live here on earth. And the reality of heaven that the Bible speaks of is not our imagination. It is our present, spiritual, heavenly reality. You must see this. Otherwise, only thing that you will see is this world. Because if there is no heaven, then this world is everything. We must have our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, who is the King of that kingdom. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and yes, we did, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Now through John, through His Word, through the book of Revelation, our Lord reveals to His church, to you and to me, His kingdom, our eternal home, heaven. To His people who are suffering in this world, our Lord shows that this world is not everything. He shows that there is another world, another reality. The eternal reality, the heavenly reality that Jesus has already accomplished for us. The church in this world, as they live in this world, must never forget her eternal reality of heaven that is already accomplished and already possessed by the church. The members of the church who live in this world must never forget that they are also members of the kingdom of God. They must live their lives here on earth according to or in terms of their reality of heaven. You must understand who you are eternally as you live your lives here on earth. And you must live your life here on earth in terms of that eternal reality. And God, our gracious God, shows us that reality through His Word. Before we go on, let me say something about how some other Christians understand our passage, like dispensationalists and premillennial people. To them, chapter 1 through 3 is the picture of the church in this world. And to them, chapter 4 and chapter 5 is the church that is raptured out of this world. And from chapter 6, then, 7-year tribulation. And we see the 1,000-year earthly kingdom in chapter 20 and the heaven in chapters 21 and 22. But that is not how we see the book of Revelation. As we have seen before, we see 7 sections in this book, and each section deals with the same period of time. Namely, from Jesus' first coming to His second coming. And we see this period as the thousand-year kingdom period. The kingdom has already begun, and our Lord Jesus Christ is already seated at the throne as the king. But this period is also seven-year tribulation period. The thousand-year kingdom is the seven-year tribulation, and that is the church age. The thousand-year kingdom that the Bible speaks of is a spiritual kingdom, and even though it is already established, the church in this world still goes through tribulation. So if we read the whole book, we cover the same period of time seven times. We see the same period in different perspectives. So, chapter 1 through 3 is dealing with the same period that chapter 4 and chapter 5 is dealing with. But chapter 1 through 3 is the earthly perspective. You see what goes on in earth during this period. But chapter 4 and chapter 5, God shows us what is going on during this same period in heaven. In chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation, heaven is seen. In the Old Testament, we see the earthly copy of heavenly things through the tabernacle and the temple. But here we see heaven as it is, though described in a symbolical language. Do you see the difference? In the Old Testament, earthly copy of heaven, earthly copy of heavenly things were shown to us. So that even though we see things here on earth in the Old Testament, that is not the real thing. That's the copy of heavenly things. And in the Old Testament, those things were described to us as a type of the real things. But in the New Testament, even though it is described in a symbolical language, the thing that is described is not a copy, but real thing. The true heavenly thing. See the difference? So just because it is described in a symbolical language doesn't mean we're not looking at the real thing. See, this is the thing. In the Old Testament, it seems like it is much more clearly described because it is earthly thing they're describing. But understand that earthly thing is a copy. Now the true thing, the real thing comes, but because of our ignorance, because of our inability to truly see the heavenly things, not yet, because we're not resurrected physically yet. Even though it is real, it is described in a symbolical language. So some people even think that Old Testament is more real. That person just doesn't get it. We see that many things are described in the book of Revelation in terms of the temple language. Let us then see our passage. Verse 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. The same Lord Jesus Christ we saw in chapter 1, the glorious risen King and God, he invites John to heaven. Come up here. And verse 2a says, immediately I was in the spirit. As we have seen last Lord's Day, you too are invited by Jesus to come. Come up to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. And you and me, we have come to heaven. The Bible is very clear that when you worship God in spirit. Just like John was in spirit. Thus, as we worship God, we too are in spirit and arrived in heaven. Now, I want you to understand that. What you are seeing in this chapter is exactly what John saw. He wrote down whatever he saw. Yes, in a symbolical language, but he did see it, and through the word, we are looking at the same thing. Yes, we too see heaven and the glorious God through his word. The door of heaven is opened. The way to heaven is opened. How was it opened for you and for me? John chapter 10 verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. John chapter 14 verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us how we have the access to the Father in one spirit through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19 and 20, therefore brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Through Jesus Christ, you and I have arrived in heaven. Of course, spiritually now, but later even with our resurrected physical bodies. But when Jesus returns, this reality that you have come to this glorious place will be visible. Let us see then heaven. Verses 2b and 3. And behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. When we get to heaven, we see before anything the throne of God. Then we see the one who sits on the throne. In the middle of it all, we see God then who sits at his throne. He is described in a symbolical language. It is similar to what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1. The throne of God is the center of heaven. God who sits on the throne is the center of heaven. And our God is sitting on the throne, meaning our God is the king. He rules, he reigns all from his throne. Psalm 93 verse 1 and 2, the Lord reigns, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Psalm 115 verse 3, but our God is in heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, out from the throne comes flashes of lightning and sound and peals of thunder. Let us go to Psalm 97. Try to understand what that picture is. We see throne, we see God sitting on the throne, and out of the throne comes flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. That is what we see in our passage. Almighty God, reigning and governing and controlling everything that happens, ruling over the whole universe. Fire goes out before him, kills all of his enemies. Lightning, and people see God and they tremble. Yes, symbolical language. But when Jesus appears, this whole world, yes, it will shake. It will tremble. Now, here in our passage, we see precious stones. These stones, they point to God's majesty, God's glory, and God's beauty. Jasper stone and sardius. In Exodus, we studied about the priestly garments. On the breastpiece, they mounted 12 precious stones, and on them, the 12 names of 12 tribes. Jasper stone and the stone that is translated in NASB as sardius are two of the precious stones on the breast piece that the high priest wore. We talked about how the priestly garments, inner garment, outer garment, and the ephod, which is the vest they with a breast piece on it, are in reverse order to the three coverings of tabernacle. So tabernacle is covered with three coverings, and the high priest, his priestly garment, is three layers. And when we study that in Exodus, we saw how the order is reversed. Because when you look at the tabernacle from outside, you will not be able to see inside. Nobody is able to go into the Holy of Holies except high priest, and that once a year. But God, through the priestly garment, he gives us an opportunity to see inside, because his most outer garment represents the most inner covering of the tabernacle. Thus, when we see the most outer piece of the priest, we are seeing the most inner place of the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, which points to heaven. And in Revelation 21, we see heaven again. And there, it is described this way. Revelation 21 verse 19a, the foundation stones of the city wall was adorned with every kind of precious stone, and it lists 12 precious stones, and we see jasper and sardius there too. So, on the vest of priest, we see these stones, but in chapter 21 of Revelation, when it is describing heaven, which was represented by the Holy of Holies, these stones, the same stones are used. Chapter 21, verse 10b and 11, Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Now, notice how the glory of God is described right here. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone. As a stone of crystal clear jasper. So in verse 10b through 11, Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, and the glory of that place is described as a costly stones. Our verse, verse 3, is then describing the majesty and the glory and the beauty of our Lord, our God, who sits on the throne. With this descriptive stones, then, we see the light that is shining from God. Heaven's light is also described using these stones. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, God, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. So even as you see the throne and God who sits on the throne, you also see the inapproachable light. That is the picture. Psalm 104 verse 2 says, covering yourself, God covering himself with light as with a cloak. God covers himself as if he is wearing it. That is the picture. Brothers and sisters, do you see your God? Our glorious, majestic God who sits on the throne, shining his glory, so bright, is inapproachable, unapproachable light. Now we also see rainbow. The rainbow reminds us of Noah's flood. When Noah came out from the ark, he was given the new heaven and new earth. It was a picture of the new creation. The rainbow points to God's common grace covenant he made with all men. God told Noah that he would never destroy the earth with water again. We see from that rainbow that God is God of mercy and grace. But we also see from that rainbow that God is the God of covenant. Covenantal God is our God. And connected to that Noah story, here we see that God is God of the new creation. God of the new heavens and new earth. We see our God. God of the covenant. Glorious. Shining his glory. and he governs. Governs over his people. Verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Revelation 21 verse 12 and 14. It had a great and high wall. It's all again describing heaven. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel and the 12 apostles of the Lamb, they represent the entire people of God. 12 tribes represent the people of the Old Testament, and 12 apostles represent the people of God in the New Testament. So 12 plus 12 is 24. So we believe 24 elders also represent the entire people of God. In the 1 Chronicles chapter 24, the sons of Aaron, the Levites, the priests, who were responsible for the sacrifice or worship of God, they were divided into 24. Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 24 verse 19, these were their offices for their ministry when they came into the house of the Lord according to the ordinances given to them through Aaron their father, just as the Lord God of Israel had commanded them. So these priests were divided into 24. In Chronicles chapter 25, we see that the musicians in the worship is also divided into 24. So in the house of God, in the temple, in the temple, these priests come in to serve and worship God, give sacrifice, and these Levites, just like what we see in chapter 4, these Levites were divided into 24. And these musicians were singing during that sacrifice, they are also divided into 24. So you already see the picture of heaven, even in the Old Testament. Yes, it is a copy. But in chapter 4 of Revelation, we're looking at the real thing. Here in our passage, the entire church of God is worshiping God and is described or represented by 24 elders. They are clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Well, wearing white garments, if you go to chapter 7, verse 14, it says, I said to him, my Lord, you know, and he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It is talking about 144,000 people that he saw. They're wearing white garment. And they are pictured here as a priest of God. But they are also sitting on the thrones and wearing a golden crown, wearing the crowns. So what do we know from that? Sitting on the thrones and wearing the crown. They are also kings. Yes, God's people are the royal priesthood. They are the priests of God and they are the kings of God, kings of heaven. Jesus' promise in chapter 3, verse 21 is completely fulfilled. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Yes, brothers and sisters, you are, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You reign with Christ, and you serve God as his priests forever and ever. And that is what we see in these 24 elders. It's your picture. And verse 5b, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before throne, which are the seven spirits of God. In chapter 1, verse 4, we learn that the seven spirits of God refers to the Holy Spirit. The glory of heaven is the glory of the Holy Spirit. And verse 6a, and before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. Exodus chapter 24, verse 10, and they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet were appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26, the throne was above the expanse. Isaiah 66, verse 1, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. That is the picture. The throne is above all heavens. And now here, the Holy Spirit is described in terms of the temple as seven lamps. If we see then this sea of glass in terms of the temple, then it points to the laver, which is called in the Old Testament sea. It was where they wash. It was laver with water in the temple. And 1 Kings chapter 7 calls it sea. Go to Revelation 15. Revelation 15. Again, we are looking at a scene of heaven. Verse 2 says, I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who have been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses. Now, again, Old Testament language here. And God wants us to look back to the Old Testament. And we see sea, and we see God's people who are victorious singing the song of Moses. So obviously through this, God is reminding us of what happened in the book of Exodus. Israelites, they crossed the Red Sea. Egyptians, they were drowned in the Red Sea. And when Israelites, they crossed over on the other side of the sea, Moses and all of his people, they were praising our God. And we see similar thing here. Sea of glass. You remember? Crossing the Red Sea was baptism. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are now crossed this world. You crossed into heaven. And there, with all the victorious saints, we're going to praise God, just like Moses after they crossed the Red Sea. Praised God. But Psalm 74 describes the crossing of the Red Sea as God fighting the sea monsters, fighting the sea itself. But in the book of Exodus, God is actually fighting Egyptian army. That's why Moses in Exodus 14 describes God as a warrior who comes to fight his enemies. But after Moses crossed the Red Sea, fighting is over. And when you picture God fighting the sea or sea monster, there's waging waves. It's not calm. But what would happen after they crossed and all the fighting is over? It's calm. And this glass sea is a picture of that conquered sea. Here, the sea of glass is the sea that is conquered. All of God's enemies destroyed like at the Red Sea. It is a picture of conquered sea. We already have seen how the sea represents the realm of Satan. But it is all conquered. And that is how you have to read Revelation 21, verse 1. Revelation 21, verse 1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea." New heaven and new earth, no sea. But in other places, glassy sea. Conquered sea. No sea as the realm of Satan. It is quite different from what is the sea of this world. Chapter 13, verse 1. "And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea." And you read about 666 in that chapter. So here, earthly sea, where Satan's realm is represented, there comes this monster who come out to fight God. But no more that sea. It's completely conquered. It's glassy sea. And you have to understand that as you read about Jesus coming the sea. It's not just to show that Jesus is God who could control environment or control weather. But even from there, it shows what Christ has come to do. Conquer the realm of Satan. Now in heaven, the sea of this world is no more. It is conquered completely and perfectly, and that is what we see in the sea of glass. Verse 6b, "And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature like had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings and full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come.'" We said that they are cherubim, special angels. Each one of them has six wings and are full of eyes around and within, and they do not cease to praise God day and night. And six wings, you remember Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah met cherubim in the temple. They are in the center and around the throne. As if they are a part of the throne. If you look at that phrase, center and around, what are we talking about? Description is as if they are a part of the throne. Do you remember in the Old Testament? When you go into Holy of Holies, there is the Ark of the Covenant, and top of that Ark of Covenant, the mercy seat, which points to the throne of God. And that's exactly what we see in our passage, throne of God. But in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, top of the mercy seat, we have two cherubim. They make two cherubim facing each other, top of that Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. That is the picture. We see the real throne of God, and here's cherubim, described as part of the throne, the mercy seat. Who are cherubim? In Genesis, they are introduced to us as the guardian of the temple of God. Psalm 80, verse 1, God is who is enthroned above the cherubim. Psalm 99, verse 1, the Lord reigns, let the people tremble, he is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake. Isaiah 37, verse 16a, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Psalm 18, verse 10, he rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. Thus we see in Ezekiel chapter 1, the throne of God there is like a chariot, and it is the cherubim-like beings move the chariot throne. Many commentators see the four things, lion, calf, man, and eagle, to represent the whole creation of God. The throne is in the middle. One who sits on it, our God, is sitting on it. And four living creatures, and we see Holy Spirit, and we see 24 elders. And in chapter 5, verse 1 of Revelation, we see myriads of angels who surround them all. So have a picture. Right in the middle is God sitting on the throne. And you have special angels, cherubim. And you have 24 elders, which represent all of God's people. So all of God's people are surrounding God. And the most outer circle, myriads of angels who surround them all. And in chapter 5, verse 6, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb, He's also there. And that is what we see. And never forget that God is the center. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19, Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. So here's another picture. Here's God sitting on the throne, and host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. Psalm 89, verse 6 and 7, for who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all those who are around him. So here's council of God who are standing around God. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames, Its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out of his, from before him. And here, thousands upon thousands were attending him. And myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court set and the books were open. And that is exactly what we're looking at. I know it took a long time to go over these verses, but I want you to see heaven, the glorious sight of heaven. Yeah, some of you just slept through the whole thing. But I want you to see heaven. And if this sight doesn't give you joy, I don't know what would. And you are part of that heaven. You are an active participant of that worship. Do you see yourself wearing crown, sitting on a throne, reigning with God, and worshiping? And as you worship, you throw down your crown upon the feet of Jesus and worship. And that is exactly what we see in our chapter. It is your heavenly reality. I know I cannot force you to believe it. I know I cannot force you to see yourself in it. But by God's grace, if you do see yourself in it, it is the most amazing thing you will ever see. And all of those people and all of those angels are gathered to do what? They're all worshiping God. They're all praising God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power." Do you see it? Do you see what you're doing? You and I are invited to participate in that eternal worship that already begun. Psalm 115 verse 1, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth." Yes, we too cast our crowns before the throne. Do you see yourself doing that as you worship God right now? That you are endowed with glory that God has given you. You are wearing the crown that God has given you. But as you come to God, worshiping God, you cast that crown to the throne. And we cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is Lord God." And that is what is going on right now. I pray, brothers and sisters, that God will cause all of us to see this and believe. Your God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when everything is done, when everything is accomplished, when everything is consummated, all is worshiping God. That is what heaven is all about. And that is your present spiritual heavenly reality. How glorious is this sight? How glorious is our God? I just have to pray. Let's pray. Father, be gracious to us. And work in us to see this glorious sight. How we are active participants of that eternal worship. Oh Father, let no one who are gathered here not see this glorious sight. Oh Father, we earnestly pray that you would grant us the eyes to see heaven and the King of heaven, Jesus Christ, that you will grant us an ear to hear so that we may hear your voice and believe, so that we may see the glory and beauty of our eternal home and our God. Bless Christ and Heaven, OPC. Grant us this sight always, that we will never, never forget what it is all about. What is the purpose of everything. So that we may live our lives in terms of that purpose, in terms of what it's all about. Bless us, God. Oh God, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.